Hey everyone, welcome back. So you want the latest on what's happening between Israel and the UN in Gaza?
Yeah, it's pretty intense. Two new laws, right?
Right, and they're causing a lot of concern internationally. We're talking about laws that ban UNRWA.
That's the UN agency specifically for Palestinian refugees.
Exactly, banning them from even working inside Israel.
And that's not all. The second one is even more.
Drastic.
It cuts off diplomatic ties completely, and get this, labels UNRWA a potential terrorist organization.
I mean, you said it's a bold move, especially considering the humanitarian situation in Gaza already. So let's break this down. What exactly does UNRWA do that's so important?
Well, think about it. Millions of Palestinian refugees in Gaza rely on them. Education, health care, basic support. UNRWA provides it all. Been
Yeah.
doing it for decades, actually.
Right, since 49, after the Arab-Israeli War. Massive displacement of Palestinians.
Exactly. UNRWA was set up to help, and they've been vital ever since.
So with all that in mind, why is Israel making these moves now?
Well, their argument is built on some pretty serious accusations. They're saying that some UNRWA staff were involved in those Hamas attacks last year.
The ones that basically triggered the war in Gaza.
And they're also claiming that hundreds of UNRWA employees have ties to militant groups.
And to be clear, for anyone listening who might not know, we're talking about Hamas here, which controls the Gaza Strip and is considered a terrorist organization by a lot of countries.
A lot of countries, yeah. And on top of all that, Israel claims they even found Hamas military equipment near UNRWA facilities.
So pretty heavy stuff. And it's not like this is the first time UNRWA has faced scrutiny, right?
Oh, definitely not. This has been an ongoing thing. They've been accused of similar things before and have had to defend themselves again and again. It's almost part of their story at this point.
So what are they saying in response this time? How are they defending themselves against these accusations?
Well, they're very firmly denying that they've knowingly helped any armed groups.
Keyword knowingly, right?
And they're really pushing the point that they're committed to rooting out anyone suspected of having ties to militants. They actually fired nine employees after their own internal investigation.
Nine employees. That does seem like they're taking it seriously.
Yeah, but it still has a huge impact. Think about it. You're an international donor. You hear these things. You might get hesitant to send money.
Understandably so.
Exactly. And that's what happened. Some countries actually cut their contributions to UNRWA after these accusations came out. Funding's been partially restored, but it's still really shaky.
Okay, so we've got the background, but let's bring it back to what this actually means. What are the potential consequences here?
Well, I mean, the most immediate thing is how this impacts aid distribution in Gaza. Millions of people depend on UNRWA, and cutting off those services, it could be devastating,
Yeah.
especially with everything else going on there.
And I can't help but think about the timing. There's more and more pressure from the U.S. on Israel to increase aid to Gaza, not restrict it.
Yeah. Exactly. So that creates this weird contradiction, this tension between what's being asked of Israel and what you're doing. And it also has the potential to really escalate tensions between Israel and the international community as a whole. And then, of course, there's the peace process, which is already so delicate. This just adds another layer of complexity.
And to really see how divisive this issue is within Israel, it's worth looking at those parliamentary votes.
Oh, yeah, those are telling.
The law banning UNRWA operations inside Israel, 92 votes in favor, only 10 against.
Wow. And the one labeling UNRWA as potentially terrorists.
87-9. And these votes came after some pretty heated debates, especially between those in support of the laws and those opposed, a lot of whom were from Arab parliamentary parties. So clearly, it's a very multifaceted issue with a lot of strong opinions.
It's a perfect example of how we have to try to understand all the perspectives involved. This isn't black and white. There are so many competing interests, so much history.
Absolutely. So I want to hear from you listening. What are your initial thoughts about all this? What questions does it raise for you? What about the future of aid in Gaza, or even the bigger picture in the region? It's a lot to take in, but it's important stuff.
I think this really highlights how complex the challenges in the region are. And it shows how badly we need solutions that address both Israel's security concerns and the humanitarian needs of Palestinians. It's not easy, that's for sure.
It really isn't. So, knowing everything we've talked about, the history, the current situation, these new laws, what solutions even exist? How can we balance security with humanitarian aid? What would a compromise even look like? There's no easy answer, but it's a question worth thinking about as this story continues to develop. So, stay informed, stay engaged, and keep those critical thinking skills sharp. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.